Peter Gers on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Now, Paz for Journey is from the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia. He's been in many times. He's an admirable man. Hello, Paz.
Hi, Peter. Good to be back.
How are you?
I'm pretty exhausted. It's
why?
Been a pretty long day. Had a conference first thing in the morning. I've been working in town all day, so I'm looking forward to like a bit of a break once this interview's over.
How do you fund the Poverty Network? How are you funded?
Yeah, Paz? Well, like I'm pretty fortunate. Like, this is a full-time job, basically, but I get a part-time income from a number of charities across Adelaide who recognise that, you know, like, it's important to be able to give people on the Centrelink payments a voice. So I do a lot of unpaid work, but I'm lucky enough that I get some financial support for this.
And you get bypass?
Oh, yeah. Certainly compared to, like, a lot of the people that I work with, I'm pretty fortunate, actually.
Good. Now, you've brought in a lot of people to speak with us. One of the most effective people was that wonderful lady who wrote the book about the working poor in America, Linda
Tirado.
Incredible woman. And I think she's done some very powerful work there, hasn't she?
Yeah, like, absolutely. I mean, we brought her over about a year and a half ago to speak at a whole bunch of events here in Adelaide. I think, you know, she really challenges a lot of the myths and prejudices around poverty. And of course, she was writing about being part of the working poor in the US, but, Australia's...
Even more dire than here. Yes.
I mean, Australia's heading down the same path, you know, with a growing number of people who are... I'm like either unemployed or like underemployed. They're working, but they're getting a pretty small income from work, and so they still have to deal with Centrelink and job agencies, and they're not really getting by.
We were just doing a story then with a lawyer, Maurie Bales, who was pointing out the lack of legal services for people in the bush. That's 7 million people across Australia. And the forgotten people, those who can't, whose income is not low enough to get legal aid, but then not high enough to afford legal services. So it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. This actually came up this morning. I was lucky enough to be a speaker at the SA Financial Counsellors Conference, and I was speaking about my experiences. I'm like working with people on Centrelink payments who are way, way below the poverty line. But then there's another group of people who, you know, are only just getting by, but they're not particularly comfortable. And you change one or two things about their circumstances, and they'll just start to drown. And like a lot of those people, don't really have access to many services, and you know they only seem superficially well off. Like, you dig a little deep, and you realise that they're mortgage up to the hilt, and they lose their job, and you'd already be like a few weeks before things start to unravel. So yeah, you're quite right.
Let's meet your guest and mine now, Paz, David, who is 59. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, Peter.
What's your story, David? Please.
I am unemployed and have been for quite a while now. For 2 or 3 years, I funded myself out of savings and have somewhat hit the wall trying to find a job.
What was your work before?
Predominantly was in hospitality, but also education as well.
Yep. And as a teacher?
Yes.
Yeah. And why did you leave the workforce?
Circumstances changed and... One of them being my father was old, and I became his carer for a couple of years as well. And I just thought I could get back into the workforce easily and haven't been able to.
And you've tried all these years now.
Yes, the last year and a half, as I was saying to Paz earlier, I have applied for 429 jobs.
Good Lord.
And had 2 interviews. And I'm not aiming high at the jobs that I've been applying for.
Such as?
Most of the jobs that I'm passionate about food and beverage and service.
Yep.
So it's been with supermarkets, BWS, Dan Murphy's. So aligned with food and beverage, basically.
429 jobs in how long?
A year and a half.
And of those, how many responses have you had? You had 2 interviews, but
very
how many
good
responses?
Question. The only people who have ever applied out of that number were those affiliated with Coles or Woolworths.
Really?
Yeah, they're the only ones who are professional, yet they expect a professional presentation, of course, when you're doing a job interview.
That's interesting. So Coles and Woolworths or their affiliates have replied.
Yes, always said, a standard email.
No, but at least that's something, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
yes. I mean, before I started here, I applied for a job and I didn't hear a word.
Mm.
And I was, I was appalled that I didn't even get a letter saying, well, thank you very much for your application, but it was not successful, blah, blah, blah. And you don't even get that.
Some of the applications discourteous. Can take hours. Yes.
That's right. Mm. And this is common. And people said to me, oh, this is common.
Mm.
It's horrifying. What happened to that basic courtesy?
Mm. Exactly. And so it's been fruitless. I've hit the wall a little bit because it gets very disheartening.
And how are you supporting yourself?
Basically on the New Start Allowance. Mm-hmm.
Which is how much?
It is, at the moment, it's $660 a fortnight.
Mm. Not a lot, is it?
Not a lot.
Mm.
So,
and do you have rent or do you have...
Yes, rent, live by myself, and then if you have all the ongoing costs that you fear, like electricity and gas.
Sure. And it's horrifying to get the bills now.
Yes, Paz laughed before a little. To me, the letterbox is the enemy, and no ID phone calls are the enemy as well, because
yes,
that's just more pressure.
People asking you for money, like, correct. You know, where is your where is your payment?
Yes,
it is. Why there was no ID?
Well, you think they'd leave a message if that was important, but that's what people do.
They can ring you, but you can't ring them.
Correct.
And that's horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a system where you have millions of calls that that go unanswered every year. So, I mean, it's not much of a surprise that when they try to call you, they're willing to leave a number for you to call back on.
No.
It's like when I had sat down with a banker at my former bank branch once. And he gave me his card. And I thought, wow, I can actually contact this man. And, if I needed to, and ask him a question. And a couple of days later, when I needed to, his number was the general number for the bank, 1314. So I would have had to have rung at my own expense. That's 30-something cents, isn't it? Then gone through the menu. Then when I finally spoke to a person in Wellington, probably, do you think they could have found this man? I doubt it. So what was the point? What's the point of his business card?
Yeah, and of course that parallels the case with Centrelink, where we have people in our group who spend like a whole month of phone credit on the phone to Centrelink trying to get through, and then like an hour and a half, all their credit's gone. And, they still haven't been able to get through to a person. So.
And what's this? I noticed, too, when I moved and I was trying to change my alert the motor vehicle registration that I changed address. And you have to – what's this MyGov website?
Oh, God, MyGov.
You have to register on that.
Yep.
And then you have to go to something else and register.
Yep, that's right. So MyGov is like the portal. You register via MyGov, and then from MyGov there's a whole bunch of other sites.
What's the point of MyGov?
Well,
what does MyGov do?
It saves money for the government.
How does it save money for the
government? Because they don't have to like employ as many people.
No, but you still have to go to whichever service you're going to and register for that service. Mm. So what is the point of MyGov? It's a gatekeeper, but... I don't know. I can't work that out. Maybe you know, dear listener, 1-300-222-891. What is the benefit of MyGov, which must be a whole bureaucracy?
Yeah. Well, I think from the government's point of view, even this really expensive IT infrastructure is cheaper for them than actually employing enough people to be able to run the front counter at Centrelink and Medicare and to be able to take calls. That's probably their argument. I mean, I think it's a rubbish argument, but I imagine that's probably what they'll say.
David, one's kind of esteem, one's sense of identity is often associated with one's work. So here you are, age 59, and clearly ready, willing, and able to work. How do you feel through this process?
Frustrated, hurt. Your emotions are all over the place as well. There's been, you know, tears and things like that.
Mm.
Every no is feels like a kick in the guts.
Mm.
And that's kind of why I've hit the wall lately is how many more?
Mm.
You know, 429. Still try and maintain a standard of living and have pride in what I do and confidence once I'm in the interviews as well.
Mm.
Because I'm just desperate to work.
What else could you do?
It's been 20-plus years of hospitality, but my knowledge is strong in both food and beverage, so that's why
that's
I thought...
That's what you want to do.
Yes, and I've still fit enough to do it and still have the passion to do so.
It's really sad, Paz, and you see this. We all know examples of this, of people, middle-aged people, who can't get arrested. And it's tragic. And yet governments are telling us to work on, work on, work on. You know, work until you drop. But then the governments are sacking us too and not allowing for experience and maturity. What is wrong with the employers? Why don't they want you, David?
Well, I feel part of it is it's age. I've taken off my resume... the date of birth, but when you see the experience, it just gives it away.
Of course.
And I think it's a strong filtering. I have done, to my detriment, I have done most of my applications online. The times I've got out and shook hands and just cold called, I get leads. They haven't gone far, but that's probably a better way to go. And now, because of not having that employment, it looks pretty bad on the CV. I'm doing odd work here and there, but... They're looking to see there's no continuity.
No, there's a gap. And suddenly they think, what's wrong with him? And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? You're out of work, you can't get work, you can't get work, you can't get work. And the longer you're out of work, the more difficult it becomes.
Catch 22.
Is it because people are... the people employing you are younger than you, David?
I'm not so sure. I haven't had too many interviews to judge them.
No, exactly. Exactly, yes. It's what's the answer, Paz? This is terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think like a good start would be recognizing what the problem is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with David's work ethic. He's got tremendous skills and experience and knowledge and attitude. Like he just faces a few barriers that are outside his control. Like one, you know, like it's a supply and demand issue. Like there just aren't enough jobs to go around. You know, we all know that. And two, because his age, I mean, you know, it's been widely documented that like once you pass the age of 50, like if you leave the workforce, like David had to leave the workforce, like to look after his dad. Yes, when he came back, the door was shut. So, you know, we have to... we have to recognize that, you know, these people aren't at fault. They're sort of victims to forces outside their control. So we should make sure they get as much support as possible while they're looking for work and they're on incomes where they can, you know, look after their health and, you know, have a decent quality of life. That would be a good start. You know, I could go further, but that would certainly, help David out knowing that, you know, he shouldn't be blamed for his situation.
One bill can destroy you, David. You know, can't it?
Yes.
It can really throw you. You know, something wrong with the car or...
That's,
you know,
inevitably what happened.
The fridge, yes.
That I had my savings. I was living off savings while looking for work.
Yes.
And got a couple of bills and that just tips you over.
What super do you have?
Huh, what's that?
Mm.
Insurance, what's that?
Someone's saying you must not be emotional on New Start. Think of it as a job in itself with no emotion.
I'm with a job-seeking company, and they've been fine. And I, for many months, was treating my job as looking for a job.
Quite.
You know, spending 6 hours a day, for instance.
Yes. So you're very diligent. Frosty says, I know exactly how your guest feels. I'm 58 and find employment impossible. Age discrimination is rife. How do I contact these people? How can Frosty contact the Anti-Poverty Network?
Yeah, well, like if Frosty needs any help dealing with Centrelink or job agency issues or just, you know, some emotional and practical support and, you know, working like alongside unlike people who understand how tough it is, he can check out our website, which is antipovertynetworkmsa.org.
Anti-Poverty Network.
sa.org. And like, you can get in touch with us there. There's also like information there about, you know, like his rights, making sure that, you know, like his health issues are documented, and that, you know, his job agency takes all of his personal issues into account when they work out his obligations. I would love to hear from him.
What pleases you, David? You know, what hope is there? I mean, you seem really you seem together.
Thank you. Yeah,
which is good.
I live a kind of hermit existence because I have to, and it's the little joys that are just tremendous joys, because normally it's a bit of doom and gloom, I must say. So at the moment, the crows.
Fair enough. Good on you, David. Good on you. That's no bad thing. Well, I hope they win for you, David.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah.
Paz, you've got Anti-Poverty Week coming up. I love your poster. It says the only Anti-Poverty Week event organised by poor people.
Still true, actually. This is the third year we've had a conference during Anti-Poverty Week, and you know, it really sticks out from the rest of the Anti-Poverty Week calendar, because it's people on low incomes speaking for themselves. That's so important, and it never happens often enough, Peter.
No, it doesn't. Where is it and when?
It's at the Clayton Wesley Uniting Church on the corner of the parade in Portrush Road. We have a great relationship there with the Uniting Church community.
David Windelick's there. He's
That's right. We work quite closely with him. But it's on Friday, October 20th, and Saturday, October 21st. It's free for all low income people. The focus is what's happening to them in terms of how government policies are like affecting their lives, and we want them to be the ones in charge of the conversation. Free lunch, free childcare, and if you have any trouble getting there, we're organising carpooling and petrol vouchers and taxi vouchers. We really want the people, who are left out of the conversations about poverty and unemployment, to be the ones in charge, like the people living it, like David.
Anti-Poverty Network SA.org.
Yeah, that's it.
How to get on to you. It's very important. I can understand your frustration, David, to want to work and to not get a gig. It's very frustrating. I hope that it turns around for you.
Thank you very much.
And that because you seem a good guy and you're prepared to be diligent, and that's such a shame. But anyway, I hope it works for you, and you're in good hands with Paz.
Thank you.
Good on you, Paz. Good to see you.
Thanks, Peter.
He's a good man. Yeah, he is. And thank you, David. Pleasure to meet you. Thank you. That's very difficult. Coming up, we'll talk to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Jonathan Palmer, I think, who is a deputy statistician, about this survey, which you may or may not have had. Fair enough. Here we are on ABC Radio Adelaide. Do you have a similar situation in employment stakes? Yes, it's difficult to get a gig in middle age, or, shame. I don't get it. I don't get it. We're being told to work on and yet junked, and that's terrible.
ABC Radio Adelaide on 891 AM, digital radio and the ABC Radio app.